I owe you a chabura, so we're. I got to record one. We're supposed to. I was supposed to have started Birchas HaShachar last week, which means last week was supposed to be Siman Mem Vav and Mem Zayin. And I don't want to skip it entirely because it's very critical. Birchas HaShachar and Birchas HaTorah, those are kind of important topics. So Bez Hashem, I will record something on that for anyone who's interested. But this week we have to keep on going. We have a curriculum that we're supposed to be going with over here. So Simen Mem Ches through Simen Nun Beis, I believe, is this week. So Simen Mem Ches is the Ramah starts off. It's an unusual type of Simen. It has only one Sif, but before the Mechaber says anything, the Ramah starts to talk. Va'omrim Parshas HaTamid. The Ramah tells us that you have to say the Parsha of the Korban Tamid every day. V'yeshom Seder Ma'arachav Ribon Ha'olam Matzat Sivisadu. You should say the sections that people skip, you know, the Karbanos that people skip. This is not the first time the Ramah told us this. The Ramah told us this before already, much, much earlier in Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah apparently was very serious about this, so he really wanted us to remember this, that we're supposed to say the Parshas Tamid every day. If you can't say it, the Ramah goes on to say, but Tzibur, you're allowed to say it in your house. So you see right off the bat that the Ramah is clearly assuming that there's a preference to say Karbanos B'tzibur. And why is there a preference to say Karbanos B'tzibur? So the Mishnah Berurah points out, why do we say Karbanos at all? We say Karbanos because it's B'makom HaKravas Karbanos. The Chazal, the Gemara tells us in a couple of places in Shas that B'zman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, we were able to get the mitzvah of Karbanos by actually bringing Karbanos. But Achshav Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, so Avram Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'mei Edo Ki Roshana, how do I know that my children are going to be Zocha to Teretz Yisrael? And Hashem says the Zchus of the Karbanos. So the Gemara tells us, Avram Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's good when they have a Beis HaMikdash. What about when they don't have a Beis HaMikdash? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Amiras HaKarbanos will be b'makom the Karbanos will be b'makom the Karbanos themselves. So it's mala aleim akosuv kilu ekrivim, that when they say the Karbanos, it's as if they're makrov the Karbanos. So since our saying of Karbanos is our version of Hakravas HaKarbanos, it makes sense that it has to be done with Tzibur. The Parshas HaTamid is a Karban Tzibur, the Karban Tamid is the Karban Tzibur. So it's done in the Beis HaMikdash. A person doesn't bring it as an individual Karban, and therefore it should be said altogether with Tzibur. So what happens, you go to a shul where you don't know exactly what they say, but you know that there's no way that they say all of the Karbanos. You're not sure exactly what they are saying, what they aren't saying. So some shuls actually have a practice where they say the Karban Tamid and they say the Torahs, and that's it. And some don't really say anything, but they pretend they say everything. So they have different practices, but you get as many people to say the Karban Tamid together. At least you say it in shul, where it's the Mikdash Ma'at. The shul is supposed to represent the base of Mikdash, and that's what you should do. The Mishnah Berurah points out, though, nearly Pashut to Mishe Odea Sefer Mitzvah Lilmod B'Gemara Perish HaMem Razu, that when a person is going to say Abayav Masaja Seidem Aracha, you go through the whole Seidem Aracha, so you're saying a passage from the Gemara, it's not saying a passage from the Gemara, it's learning a passage from the Gemara. That a person should learn what it means. When you read the Ketores, we should know what it means when we read the Ketores. Kadeshi Yavin Mashu Omer. You have to understand what you're saying. And that way the Amira is going to be in place of the Akhtara, that it shouldn't just be the words alone. It should be more than just the words of the Karbanos, but the learning of the Karbanos. The Magen Avram adds, you should say it ba'amida, because we should view it like our avoda, that we should literally take this like our avoda, and avoda is done ba'amida. So Karbanos, you should stand, says the Magen Avram, even though the Mishnah Berurah says many others are cholik on that, and do not think that it's necessary to stand. The Bir Halacha in Simen Aleph had mentioned that you're supposed to dafka say it in shul, but over here again it's the Mashmaos of the Ramah that you say it b'tzibur. So Pashtus is, it means you say it in shul. Mishnah Berurah further in the end of Sifkat and Aleph points out in the name of the Prima Gadin that in the Yehi Ratzon printed in some of the Sidurim it says ki'ilu hikravnu karban atamid, and some have a girsa hikrafti. So he says hikrafti is incorrect, because karban tamid, like we said, is a karban tzibur, so you shouldn't say kilu hikrafti, but kilu hikravnu. Rav Shachter often likes to point out the passage in Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah in the end of Maseches Brachos, where Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah seemed to indicate that saying the karbanos is a kiyum da'oraisa. saying Pesukei Dezimra is vaday not a kiyum daraisa. It's a minag, it's something, but it's not a kiyum daraisa. Saying karbanos is a kiyum daraisa. So Shapta points out that it's more important to say karbanos than it is to say Pesukei Dezimra. A person has to be very careful, make sure that they say the karbanos. So that's his ha'ara. Now, if you look in the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah actually and see what the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah say, it doesn't actually say that explicitly, that saying karbanos is a kiyum daraisa. What it says in Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah is that what relates to Siman Mem Tes, to the next Siman in Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch says that even though we paskin Dvarim Shebchsav Yata Rashi Lam Melpeh Kol Davar Sheragil V'Shagur B'Fiakol, anything that's fluent and everybody knows by heart, Kriya Shema, Birkas Kohanim, Parshas Atam Nechiyotzi Behen Mutter. Everyone knows Kriya Shema, everyone knows Birkas Kohanim, everyone knows Parshas HaTamid. These kinds of things that everyone says every day, so everybody knows by heart. So you can test how many people know Parshas HaTamid by heart. If you say it every day, you should know it by heart. So these things, you're allowed to say it balpeh. You're allowed to say these things balpeh. So what the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah says over there, he's bothered how we're allowed to say these things balpeh. I dvarim shebuksav yata rashalom balpeh. So Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah says that whenever the psukim that you're saying are not just psukim b'toras limud, but there's another kiyum mitzvah in reciting those psukim, then you're allowed to say them bal peh. So for example, if you say the psukim of Kriya Shema, you're being mekayim a mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Not just, those same words are how a person is mekayim a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, not just limud Torah of those psukim. So such psukim that have within them the ability to fulfill another mitzvah is mutter to say bal peh. And therefore the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah says, if you want to say the psukim of Birchas Kohanim bal peh, that's fine, because the Kohanim are Mekayim, their mitzvah, Birchas Kohanim, by saying those psukim. And therefore, Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah say, if you want to say the parsha of the Karbanos, the parshios of the Karbanos, Bal Peh, that's fine, because that's Neshama Par Mitzvah Seinu, that's how we fulfill the mitzvah of the Karbanos. So that's the passage of Shabbat is referring to, where Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah say that saying the Karbanos is actually a Kiyum Mitzvah Daraisa. So it's a Kiyum Mitzvah of bringing the Karbanos. It's our version of being able to bring the Karbanos. The Radvaz in a tshuva quoted in the Mishnah Berurah here in Sivkat and Beis in Siman Mem Tes writes that to read a parsha bal peh when the shatz is kore is not a problem. But he says, he says, aninis, or I'm careful about it, avle eini mocha la'acherin. But I'm not going to make a macha if people are reading, if they're hearing Kriya Satara and they're saying it along when they're hearing it, because there are a lot of poskim that hold that the isra of saying dvarim shebichsav bal peh is only when you're trying to be motzi other people. This is always a question. To what extent, I think in Piskei Tshuvos over here, he collects like 8 different exceptions to the isra of dvarim shebichsav yatar rashalom bal peh. Someone is darshaning, a rabbi saying a drasha, and he's quoting psukim. So he has to go and find every pasuk in the chumash before he says over the pasuk. So some do that. Some are makbid that they're not going to say over the pasuk. Others are not makbid about that. So there might be, as the Mishnah Berurah points out in Sivkan Gimel, Misha Darish Bram Baharbi Pesukim Shabbator V'Kashal L'Chapis B'Chol Shal B'Chumish Mekvod Tzibur Efshar Shiyesh La'Akel. Maybe there could be Mekel over there as well. So there are a lot of different situations where maybe we could be Mekel on this, but we shouldn't forget that it exists as a halacha. It is. It's on the books as a halacha. Now we didn't mention in Si'if Aleph in Siman Mem Ches, just working backwards a little bit, the Shulchan Aruch says that on Shabbos, by the Parshas Tamid, we should also say the Pesukim of the Musaf on Shabbos, because that's a korban that has to be brought on Shabbos. So you want to say the korbanos of the day, but not on Rosh Chodesh and Yantif, the Shulchan Aruch says, because anyway we're going to say that in Kriyas HaTorah. The Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Chodesh is the korban Musaf. Yantif, the Kriyas HaTorah, is going to be the korban Musaf. But the Ramah says we do it anyway in korbanos. We add it into korbanos. In our Sidurim, the Rosh Chodesh, although I don't think Yantif, but Rosh Chodesh is added into to the korbanos, and that's the minute to be mefarsim Shu Rosh Chodesh. So why in our Sidurim do we have Rosh Chodesh added into the Sidurim in like a gray box in the art scroll? You know, on Rosh Chodesh say this, but not Yantif. If it's both the same inyan, that really you're going to say it in Musaf anyhow. So really, Mikra Din, it's not necessary. Really, you're going to say it in Kriyas HaTorah anyhow. So it's not necessary to say it in the Karbanos. So, but the Ramah says it's good to be Mefarsim. So why do we want to be Mefarsim Rosh Chodesh and not be Mefarsim Yantiv? So the pashas is that Yantif doesn't need pirsum. Rosh Chodesh needs pirsum. Right? Schools, elementary schools, very often have a practice that people wear white shirts. The kids wear white shirts on Rosh Chodesh, and every single time there are kids that are not wearing white shirts, not because they don't want to, and not because they're trying to. They just forgot. It's very easy to forget that it's Rosh Chodesh. There's no difference in your life that it's Rosh Chodesh. You don't notice anything different on Rosh Chodesh other than the changes in davening. So we want to be mefarsim as early on that everyone should remember. Everyone should remember that it's Rosh Chodesh. The Ramah also, again, working a little backwards over here, I forgot to mention, the Ramah in Simen Mem Ches talks about shuckling over here, which is interesting inyan. He writes, Nagua Medaktikim lihisno eya bishar shekorin batorah, that the Medaktikim are noeg to shuckle when they learn Torah. Dugmas haTorah shenitna piriseis. Similar to the Torah that was given with riseis, and, you know, when people say retes vizeya, it's reseis vizia, right? It's not zeya, zeya would be sweat. So it's with a sense of trembling, it's with a sense of trepidation that the Torah was given, so we're supposed to be trembling when we daven. Al shem kol atzmose tamar na Hashem michamocha, our whole bodies should be into the davening, and that's why our practice is that we shuckle when we daven. So in the Mishnah Berurah he writes that some are cholek and say that no. He quotes from a Magen Avraham and Berhetev that when you daven you stand still like a stick, that you shouldn't move at all. Only by Pesukei Dezimra and Kriyashma and Limanat Torah the minig is to shuckle, but Shemon Esrei you stand still because you're standing in front of a melech. Imagine talking in front of a melech and going like this, like giving a good yeshivish shuckle when you stand in front of a melech. It'd be ridiculous. You'd look silly. So we don't do that. So the Magen Avraham says David Kamara Avid, and Mishmur says I recommend do whatever helps you with your kavana. If it's going to help you have more kavana to shuckle, so then you should shuckle. If it's not going to help you, then stand still. Other achronim suggest that it's based on that the idea of shuckling is based on kiner Hashem nishmas Adam, that our neshama is coming out, and just like a ner flickers, so our body is sort of flickering, it's moving, it's jumping a little bit. The Kuzari, if I'm not mistaken, has the funny explanation that one of the questions in the Kuzari is why it is that we shuckle. It's a strange philosophical question to ask, but the Kuzari says, because it used to be they would learn out of a Torah. They would learn out of an actual Torah scroll, and not everyone had one. So they would have one big Torah, they'd roll it out on the table, and everyone would go stand around it. Some people would learn to read upside down because they were standing on the other side. Right? Everyone's standing around the Torah, and everyone would bend. If everyone would bend down at the same time to look at the Pesukim, then they'd all butt heads with each other. So one guy bends down and gets up, then the other guy bends down and he gets up, the other guy bends down and he gets up, and that's how shuckling came about. Okay, the Ramah says a little different though. The Ramah is a little more satisfying, although less memorable, I think, than the Kuzari. Okay, moving along. Simin Nun, Shulchan Aruch writes, Kavu lishnos achar parshas hatamid perek ezum mekomen ubraisid Rabbi Shmuel. After we read the parshas hatamid and the ketores, we also say the ezum mekomen, which is a whole perek of Mishnayis, and the braisid Rabbi Shmuel, kadesh yizka kolodim limul b'chol yom mikra mishnah b'gemara, to braisid Rabbi Shmuel, ev makom gemara shamedrish ku gemara. That the braisid Rabbi Shmuel is b'makom gemara. It's interesting, the Mishnah Berurah discusses why we chose these sections. I mean, clearly what we're trying to do is Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, because the Gemara in Mesechus Kiddushin, Dav Lamed Amnalev tells us, Lolim Yishali Shod Mishnosav, Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud, a person is supposed to divide up his years into three parts, one-third Mikra, one-third Mishnah, one-third Talmud. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's great, so if I'm going to live 120 years, so the first 40 years I'll learn Mikra, then the next 40 Mishnah, then the next 40 I'll learn Talmud. No, the Gemara says, but what if I don't know for sure that I'm going to live 120 years, like most people? So the Gemara says, okay, so it doesn't mean Shnosav, it means you should divide up your days, whatever that means. So Machlok Rashi tells us whether it means you should divide. Rashi says it means Sunday, Monday is Mikra, Tuesday, Wednesday is Mishnah, Thursday, Friday is Talmud, and Shabbos is Chazar, or whatever, sleeping, whatever. So that's Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud. Tulsa says, what if you die on a Wednesday? Then what? Then you miss out on time. Okay, so it means each day you should have a little bit of Mikra, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Talmud each and every day. The Rambam writes that's betchilas limudah shel adam. When a person starts to learn, it should be a little bit of Mikra. This is all in Shulchan Aruch and Yardei and Hilchos Talmud Torah. that a person should learn, it should split his time evenly when he starts to learn. But as you gain proficiency in Mikra and Mishnah, you're going to realize that you don't need that much constant review of Mikra Mishnah. Gemara requires a lot more work. Mishnah a little more than Mikra, and Talmud more than Mishnah. So obviously your schedule should then go more towards Talmud. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosfos saying that we learn Talmud Bavli, and Talmud Bavli is Balul B'Kulam B'Mikra Mishnah B'Talmud, and that's why we could be Yotzei all three with Talmud Bavli. But, you know, that's a cop-out. That's what the Achronim point out. That's not really, you're not going to know Tanakh if you learn Talmud Bavli. You have to know what, you know, Tanakh in order also, not just, what this pasuk is darshened in Baba Kama. You have to know Tanakh also. So you're supposed to learn Tanakh, you're supposed to learn Mishnayos, and you're supposed to learn Talmud. So we try to build it into the schedule every day that there's at least a little bit of it, that there's at least a little bit of each, that for a balanced Torah learning schedule, a person should have a little bit of each. And sometimes the Achronim point out that you're going to say that, why don't I rely on Rabbeinu Tam? I'll learn Talmud Bavli. I'm a learner, so I'm going to learn Gemara every day. But that doesn't always work, because it used to be that they would be big Bikiyim and they would learn many, many Dapim, so there would always be a Mikra Mishnah and Talmud. But sometimes nowadays we only learn one daf in the whole day. So if you only learn one daf in the whole day, sometimes there's no Mikra, there's no Mishnah, there's usually Talmud, but there's no Mikra, no Mishnah in the whole daf of Gemara. So there's no guarantees if you're only doing one daf a day. Rav Shach likes to tell the story that Lublina Rav and Rav Meir Shapiro started the daf Yomi. So in Chassidish Yeshivas, they were very upset. How could you only learn one daf a day? They were so angry. What kind of churban is this? So they started saying all sorts of terrible things about the Lublina Rav and the daf Yomi. No one even knew what it was, but the Bachram were all tumulting that this is a terrible thing. So he said, and one of the yeshivas, one of the Bachram said to another one, what is this daf Yomi? He says, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's a sefer that the Lublina Rav wrote, and it's full of epicurses. You know, they only knew that they hated it. They didn't know. So because you only learn one daf a day. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam is talking about. If you're going to learn a lot, but we can't rely on that. So that's why we have this Mikra Mishnah Talmud. So why do we choose the Mikra of Parshas HaTamid? Very simple, because we have a mitzvah to do of our Kravas Korban Talmud, and the way we do it is in the Shalom of the Parshas HaSeinu. We got to say it anyway. Why do we choose? Let's work to the other extreme, to the Rabbi Ishmael. Why do we read the Rabbi Ishmael? So the Pashtus, it sounds from the Rambam, although Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it over here, is that Rabbi Ishmael is that brice of Rabbi Ishmael is the definition of Talmud. It's not just Talmud, it's the definition of Talmud, because the Rambam writes, what does Talmud mean? Meaning, the fact that it says Shush Mikra, Shush Mikra, Shush Talmud, it says in the Gemara. So when the Gemara was saying that, what were they talking about? There was no Gemara. It doesn't mean opening up a Shas and Talmud Bavli is Bol B'Kulam. So what exactly does Talmud mean? So the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah defines Talmud as being Medame Milsa L'Milsa, being able to be Motzi the Halacha, to derive the Halacha from the Psukim through the Mido Shatara and the Drashas Ben. That's the definition of Talmud. Talmud is how to decode the Mikra. So since that's the definition of Talmud, that's a great option to use for Talmud. Now, why Ezu Mekomen of all prakim in Shas of Mishnayis? So says the Mishnah Brura in Sivkat and Beis. V'chein bachru b'mishnah se'ezu mekomen k'vu achartam mishum shnemar v'chol makom miktar u'mugash l'shmi v'chi b'chol makom maktirun u'magishin. Are we maktir magish wherever we are? El tamir cham shoskin b'hilchus avoda b'chol yom b'chol makom shein. That tamir cham learning hilchus avoda, and that's what ezu mekomen is. The hilchus avoda is mala ani aleim kilu maktirun u'magishin l'shmi. Hashem says, I view that as if you're actually sacrificing, as if you're actually burning the ketores for me and bringing karbanos for me. That's one. And furthermore, that's the more famous answer, because there's no machlokas. If there's no machlokas, you know that everything in it is accurate, because there's no machlokas in the whole perek. But the Mishnah Brura points out a word of caution, since this is supposed to be done as limud Torah, and it's not meant to be done as tefillah, one has to understand it. One has to understand these Mishnayos when he reads these Mishnayos. It's supposed to be Limud Torah. And therefore, it's appropriate that it should be done in the Nigun of Limud, not in the Nigun of Tefillah. Meaning, when you read it, you should sound like you're learning, not like you sound like you're davening. Sometimes people, you know, they just get into certain habits. Like, it always bothers me in many shuls when they say the Tefillah for the Medina. So usually it's a gabbai, and he doesn't know exactly how it's supposed to. So he turns into like a robot, you know. It doesn't sound like a tefillah at all. You know, it's just like with no emotion at all. So if it's going to be a tefillah, say it like a tefillah. So if this is going to be learning, say it like learning. Say it like you're learning up something the way you would expect a person to sound when they're learning. So it should be learned. Okay, then the Shulchan Aruch Siman and Aleph tells us that Omer Baruch Shamar Kodem Pesukei Dezimra V'yishtabach L'achareihem. You say Baruch Shamar before Pesukei Dezimra, Yishtabach at the end. So it's book ended with Baruch Shamar Yishtabach. The Mishabur points out you will not find Baruch Shamar anywhere in Shas. This tefillah is not a tefillah that appears in Shas. And he says, he quotes from the Magen Avraham, that this tefillah, Tiknu Anshei Knesset HaGadola, note came down from Shemayim, and Baruch Sha'amar was written on this note from Shemayim, V'yeshbo pei zayin tevos, and it has exactly 87 words, V'simnu rosho kesem paz. So the simon is rosho kesem paz, that the beginning should be paz, should be 87. That rosh ha'tvila is the bracha of pei zayin tevos, and therefore you got to be careful not to add or take away any words from it. And you should say it's standing, even be a chidi, even if you're not betzibur. And the Mishnah says you should hold two tzitzis, the two tzitzis that are in front of you at the time that you say Baruch Shamar. And when you finish Baruch Shamar, you should kiss the tzitzis. There are many more Kabbalistic practices, but that's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. When you finish Baruch Shamar, if you finish ahead of the chazan and then the chazan finishes after you, Shulchan Aruch says you answer amen to the chazan. Now Mishnah Berurah and Sifkan Dalet, he says, and that's not considered a hefsik, meaning normally not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra. So it's not called a hefsik. The Pesukei Dezimra shevachu va'amein shevachu u'ke'en zimra v'lo'avei hefsik. So it's not called a hefsik because the whole Pesukei Dezimra is all a shevach. Amein is a shevach, so it's part of the same shevach. But dvarim b'teilim between Baruch Shamar and Hodu, that it could be that's a hefsik. You have to go back and say Baruch Shamar again, and even a single word. You're not allowed to say dvarim b'teilim. And not only that, Mishnah Berurah says even shtika, you should be nizor l'chadchila, not to just sit there doing nothing. You should be davening. But I daven so much faster than the Beis Medrash. They daven so slowly, so I daven so much faster. So daven slower, and then you won't be standing there b'shtika. You won't be sitting there the whole time waiting. You shouldn't have a hefsik in the middle of the Pesukei Dezimra. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Dalid in Siman and Aleph Tzarich Lizor Mila Hafsik B'Dibur Mishias L'Baruch Shamar Tzav Shemona Esrei. Really, from Baruch Shamar until the end of Shemona Esrei, and the Mishnah Berurah adds, and when you say Tachnun until the end of Tachnun, you shouldn't be Mafsik at all. Even L'Tzarich Mitzvah, you should one shouldn't speak between Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. Now, in Sivkot and Ches, Mishnah Berurah writes that even Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo you're not allowed to say, because Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo is not mentioned in the Gemara. Where does Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo come from? So that is the Torah quotes that it was a minhag of Adoni Avi Arash Zal. He quotes it from the Rush. But Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo doesn't appear in the Gemara. That's why a lot of people don't like saying it. They think it's going to be a hefsik in the middle of Chazar Sashatz, Talmidim of Rav Salvechik. Pretty much every Rashivi here probably does not say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo during Shemona Esrei, even though outside of this yeshiva, many, many other yeshivas, they do say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, because that was Rav Salvechik's minhag, because he took Chazar Sashatz very seriously. He held a Chazar Sashatz as a tefillas hatzibur, and you have to have full concentration, and he stood with his feet together. So it's all part of the same minyan. And if it's like your tefillah, then you shouldn't be saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in the middle of a tefillah that you're being yotzei. But amen, you're allowed to say on anything that you hear, even when you're right in the middle of a section of Pesukei Dezimra. And he says, Modim Drabbanan, Kriya Shema Matzibur, you could also say, and certainly for Kaddish, for Kedusha, and for Baruch Hu. And the poskim discuss, okay, what about V'yatzmach Perkane? What if you're davening in Nusach? So can you answer Amen to V'yatzmach Perkane? So Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, both quoted by the Dirshu over here, say, no, that you shouldn't say, because even though the Rambam says V'yatzmach Perkane in the Kaddish, he doesn't say they answer Amen to V'yatzmach Perkane. The Rambam's text of Kaddish has it, but it doesn't say the answer amen to it. So he says, so to be mafsik, middle psukit zirma, to say an amen that we're not even sure that you're supposed to say, so that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't say the amen to viasmach prokane. The for kedusha, you're allowed to say in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, even the pasuk of Yimloch, but Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Valo Lo Yibol, Lo Lo Yibol is that sefer, that funny sefer, the fellow that followed him around. You ever see the sefer? You know what I'm talking about? There's a guy that used to follow Rosh Zalman around and ask him all sorts of questions. And he just wrote down every single answer that Rosh Zalman. It was off the cuff. It was not, so he published a sefer. Like some, he would ask, like, he asked a question Rosh Zalman would say, Mistama, or I don't know, or how long did you learn yeshiva that you don't know the answer to that? I think in one place he actually has that. How long did you learn yeshiva? You don't know the answer to that. So, and he has that. He was very honest. He put everything down exactly. In the Haskamot of Alo Lo Yibol, Rav Shmuel Auerbach writes, you know, my father was just having these conversations in passing. He never imagined that anyone would publish this. So I beg of you, please, don't publish the Sefer. So that's what it says in the Haskamah to the Sefer. It's published in the beginning of the Sefer. So it looks like Haskamah from Shmuel Auerbach. The Haskamah says, do not publish this, please. So he writes a little paragraph afterwards. The author writes, objection noted, but we're going to publish it anyway because I think it has a lot of valuable things in it. So it's a funny Sefer. So anyway, so in Avalah Lo Yibol, it says that you're allowed to say the additions to Kedusha of Shabbos, you know, as we call Rosh Gadol, etc., even in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, and probably it relates to what the Mishnah Berurah had said that we read earlier, that it's all about Shevachu, and anything that's about Shevach is not going to be a Hefsik. It's not going to be a Hefsik anyway. The Mishnah Berurah says you're not supposed to read when you're in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, you shouldn't get an aliyah because you shouldn't be doing other things. What if there's no other Kohen, if there's no other Levi, and you're the only one? So then you're allowed to go get an aliyah even in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, but you shouldn't be making a Mishaberach. You shouldn't ask the Gabbai for a Mishaberach at that time. You just try to keep it. Now, if the Gabbai wants to, is says a Mishaberach and just asks for your name, and he needs your name, so you could say very quickly what your name is so as not to embarrass him. But really, we should... we should minimize any disruptions. The Shulchan Aruch goes on to say a few etzas of what you're allowed to and not allowed to say in middle of Pesukei Dezimra, meaning where to put commas in certain places. So it's important to take a look in Sivches, very important halacha. He says Ein Omer Mazmiros B'Merutza Kiyim B'Nachas, that the Pesukei Dezimra should be Pesukei Dezimra. It shouldn't be said fast. Mishbura says it means that every word has to be said clearly, as if you're counting money. So Shakta told us that Reb Chaim used to daven quickly. He used to daven Shemoneh Esrei quickly, and someone said, but the Rambam says you're supposed to daven Shemoneh Esrei like you're counting money. He said, yeah, I count money quickly also. But he would say it in a way that at least he could say every word. So Pesukei Dezimra, you should say it in a way that you could say every word. The Poskim, especially the Chassidish Poskim, are very into the idea that Pesukei Dezimra should be said out loud, because you're supposed to be singing. You're supposed to be singing Hashem's praises. Tefillah, we learn from Chana, is supposed to be said quietly, just loud enough that you could hear it with your own ears. But Pesukei Dezimra, that's not supposed to be quiet. You shouldn't be screaming that you're going to interrupt it, you're going to bother everybody, but it should be said loudly. And one advantage of saying things loudly is that if you're saying it loudly, it's hard to fool yourself into thinking you're saying all the words when you're not really saying all of the words. The Ramah writes that the minhag is to stand when you say Baruch Sha'amar, and when you say Vayivarach David, and when you say Yishtabach. The Ber Hetev over here points out in Sifkatan Zayin and Vayivarach David that not only do we stand when we get to Va'ata Moshe Bakol, you give three prutos to tzedakah, and then he goes on to say that if there's a minag biyom amila shomer amol v'charos mechalik tzas psukim. So a lot of places they do this, that if there's a mila, if there's a bris mila, the mol will take over and it'll start dividing up the psukim, it'll start saying things responsively, and he says it's difficult to understand why you could do that, because after all, kol pasuk lo paske Moshe, anan lo paskinan. So how is he allowed to divide up the psukim? So there are many justifications of that minhag. The Shulchan Aruch says mizmor l'sod is very important. She's be said b'negina, because all the other shiros are asidos libatel, except for mizmor l'sod, and we just don't say mizmor l'sod on days that there was no karban todah. So we don't say it on Shabbos and Yontif. We don't say it on Pesach, because part of the karban todah is 40 loaves, but 10 of them were chametz, so it couldn't be brought on Pesach. That's a klutz kasha. They used to ask, you know, what did they do about lechem apanim on Pesach? How can you have lechem apanim on Pesach? Because it's matzah, so that's why. That's one of the rites. Matzah could be a tefachai. Lechem apanim was a tefachai. That's the Sephardi matzahs. They're only this thick. So it can be. So Mishnah Berurah says, we don't, Ramah writes, we don't make matzah that's a tefachai. So not a tefach, but an etzbach. Lachari, you're allowed to, even Ashkenazim. As Rav Shachter points out, there's no problem with an Ashkenazi eating Sephardi matzahs. But anyway, but the Karban Tamid involved, the Karban Toda rather, involved 40 loaves of bread, 10 of them are chametz. So you couldn't do that. So we don't say it on Pesach, we don't say it on Erev Pesach. Why not Erev Pesach? You could eat chametz in the morning. Yeah, but we're not allowed to be mimayit the zman achilasa. So it could be eaten for Yom Valayla, so, but on Erev Pesach, you're only allowed to eat it till the sof zman achilas chametz, so you would be mimayit the zman achilasa. And the same is true with Yom Kippur and Erev Yom Kippur for that very same reason. Because it would be mimayit the zman achila of the carbon, of the carbon toda, so that's why we don't say mizmor l'soda on those days. In Simen Nun Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says the whole simen is totally not nogeya l'maisa. It's about people who come late to shul, so it's not nogeya at all l'maisa. But if it ever does become nogeya, maybe kedai to study a little bit about which things take precedence over which, what to say first. Essentially, as we probably know, Baruch Shamar Ashrei Yishtabach are the really big ones. On Shabbos, Nishmas has significance. Not only does Nishmas have significance in terms of taking precedence, it may have significance in terms of standing for Nishmas as well. Many of the Gedolei Poskim held that you should stand for Nishmas as well. But you got to study Siman Nun Beis to really figure out what exactly the Seder HaDvarim is when a person is Chas V'Shalom late to Shul. Okay, so I will try to record a Chabura on Mem Vav and Mem Zayin, and the next week, Be'ez Hashem, we'll move on from Siman Nun Gimel and Vayit.